Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. My guest today is Kaylee Chu, and I've been looking forward to having a conversation with Kaylee ever since I first heard about her. Kaylee has set about having 100 lunches with 100 strangers. And you might think, why would someone do that? Well, Kaylee did that because she was finding it hard to interact with people that were not of her background. She had migrated from Hong Kong, and when she was interacting with other Australians, she felt like even though she was an extrovert, she couldn't quite put herself forward. So to help overcome this challenge, she set about having 100 lunches with 100 strangers. Now, she's had well more than 100 now. She's had about 250 or 260. And the second 100 or 200th lunch was with comedian actor Shane Jacobson. And I first heard about Kaylee as that news story came to air. And I really, really wanted to connect with her because I wanted to find out why she did this. What did she learn? What did she learn about herself? But what did she learn about other people? And why is connection so important? I wanted to ask about what wisdom she'd acquired as compared to just learning things. And I was also really keen to understand about what it took to overcome that reluctance, that reticence to put herself out there and the confidence that she's developed as a consequence of this exercise. It's a really fun and interesting interview, and I really enjoyed having a conversation with Kaylee, and I hope that one day I'll get the chance to have a lunch with her because she's a fascinating and interesting person. So I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I enjoyed recording. And if you want to find out more about Kaylee and what she does, or even set up a lunch of your own, head across to kayleechu.com. There's tons of free resources there. You can download bits and pieces and check out the platform that she's building as well. But for now, here's Kaylee. I hope you enjoy the interview. Kaylee, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Friday afternoon to come and hang with us on the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's fantastic to finally get to meet you. How are you going?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me today.
Look, it's an absolute pleasure. Kaylee, I was just mentioning off air that your name first crossed my radar when I was watching the ABC news story, and you'd been going through your 100 lunches program, and you'd had your 200th lunch with Shane Jacobson. And I really liked the video. I really loved the fact that it was really windy on the video. I really loved the fact that he duct taped your car together so you could get home. And I thought, wow, that sounds like a fun lunch. And so I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on the show. But before we do get into the 100 lunches phenomenon that you've created, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your background, because I know you're from Hong Kong. I know you came to Australia to study, and then your friends went back to Hong Kong. I'm curious to ask a little bit about your upbringing, because you made particular reference in some of the media I've seen about being a shy person, and I'm wondering how that came to be.
That's a very good question. I think when I was in Hong Kong, I wasn't that shy, to be honest. I wasn't the most outgoing, bubbly girl in school or anything like that, but I wasn't that shy at all. But when I came here, I think just everything changed, like in a foreign environment. And as an immigrant or international student, you're like a minority. And to make things worse, I think I'm the minority of a minority group, because all my friends was, even they were from Hong Kong, they're all from private school. Mm-hmm. And I'm the only one from government school. So like, I was very, very self-conscious about who I was. And I always worry about I'm going to say the wrong thing. And, you know, I just try to avoid making mistakes by not talking much, and became a really, really shy or lack of confidence and quiet person.
Okay, so that's really interesting. And you said, again, as I did my research, I was aware that a lot of your close network were from Hong Kong, family, friends, and all the rest of it. In Australia, they were mainly Hong Kong people. Was that to give you a space where you felt like you could relate? Was that so that you could come out of yourself? Or you said that you're not the shy girl that, you know, when you were growing up, but when you were in Australia with your Hong Kong friends, were you shy in that group as well, or was it only when you left that group?
I was okay. Like, I talked to them. Like, we catch up, we eat, we talk. Again, not the most outgoing person, but I talk. Mm. At least I talk.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot more common topic to talk to. You know, we have Hong Kong food, we watch Hong Kong news, and we have a lot more similarities to talk about.
Yeah.
But outside the immediate circle and people, that's very different to me, in particular, like non-Asian background. And that's when I really, really freak out to an extent. And when I, that's really an extreme. Like, you know, when you go to supermarkets, I don't go to the deli section to ask what I want. I just go to the fridge and get what I want, even though they're not as fresh and more expensive, just to avoid conversation with people.
Oh, that's really interesting. So I'm curious to ask, you know, when you were going through this period of, you know, feeling like it was difficult to make conversation outside of that network, what was the impact of that for you?
To be honest, for the first maybe 12 years of my life, I didn't think that was a big deal. I wasn't too happy because, like I said, I was shy and I knew that I wasn't living my life to the fullest, as in I couldn't talk to people. And in a party, for example, when we even in uni days, you have a lot of parties when you have a lot of different people. I want to talk to them. I want to, you know, hang out with them and see what they're doing, but I just couldn't. And that's sometimes a little bit frustrating. But most of the time, I'm actually happy. Like, I wasn't complaining or a sad, depressed person. No, it's far from it. I'm actually pretty happy that I've got a group of friends. I've got a supportive husband. I've got two kids and I'm having an okay life.
Yeah, which is fantastic. So I've got to ask you, what was the turning point that was the impetus for the 100 lunches? Was there a moment where you thought, you know, enough is enough? I've got to be able to, you know, get through this barrier of talking to people. What was that moment? Was there one moment or was it a dawning on you?
I think it was slowly I start to feel like I want to do that because I got curious living here for like 12 years and how it's like to be a real Australian and, you know, seeing them and, you know, just got curious. But I haven't done anything until I reached my like breaking point was when I finished, when I had my second maternity leave.
Yeah.
And I got a new job.
Yeah.
When most of the clients were not Asian, because for the first couple of jobs that I had, majority of the clients were Asians and I had no problem with that. And when I got the new job, that's when the problem begins, because my shyness or lack of confidence, which was really causing an issue.
Mm.
And I remember that meeting when the client asked me a question and I wasn't able to answer the question was really, really upsetting for me because I knew the answer, but I just couldn't say it. I couldn't even explain why, because I should be able to. And that's when I decided that we have to do something to change and not let it happen again.
Yeah. And so obviously you did. And the 100 lunches idea, where did that come from?
So after that very embarrassing and frustrating meeting, I had a informal performance review with my boss, John. And then we said, Kaylee, that's not okay. We had to do something, or more likely, I have to do something, because if I can't talk to clients, then how am I going to, you know, work?
Yeah.
And that's not good. So we thought, having lunch is a more casual way to get to know people and more comfortable. And if I can do that, then that could slowly build up my confidence and able to talk to people, which was right. Now I can't stop talking. So it worked.
Okay. And you said you're up to about 260 lunches now, which is fantastic. And I haven't seen all the people you've spoken to, but I do know about the Shane Jacobson one. I'm curious to ask you, just before we get into the nuts and bolts of the 100 lunches, I want to ask you a question, and this may or may not relate to your experience, because I know I'm a bit of a fan of Brené Brown. I don't know if you've come across her, but I think she's wonderful, and her work around, you know, vulnerability and connection and so on. And so one of the things I heard her speak about was the ability to be surrounded by people but to be lonely at the same time. So you can be in a room full of people or to be in a community of people and still feel lonely. And I know that's not necessarily your experience, but do you think, having done these lunches now, do you think that people are craving connection? Do you think that people are lonely? Do you think, is loneliness an issue?
Absolutely, I think so. I think people are craving for deep, meaningful connection. Not that we're lack of people to talk to, because anyone can jump on social media and talk to 100 people if they want to. But the reason why I love lunch so much is that after an hour lunch breaking bread and talking about non-business, like talking about who you are, what you like to do, and who you as a person, it creates a much, much deeper connection than just a coffee or people you meet on a networking event, for example. Yeah, that's just make a big difference in, you know, in the connections. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So with the lunches, and you obviously had the idea of putting it together, and John gave you obviously a bit of a push, I imagine, to get you out there and build your confidence and so you can interact with your clients. Did you get to a point where it felt comfortable, or was it always just, you know, did you always feel like you're putting yourself out there, or did it ever get to a point where you thought, you know what, I'm feeling more and more comfortable with this now? And if there was that point, I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, how many lunches did you do before you before you felt like, I've kind of got this, all right?
I remember the first lunch was absolutely a disaster. But the good news is, or the lucky thing is, when I first booked the lunch journey, I made 3 lunch bookings in a row. So yeah. I kind of have to do the second and the third one.
Yeah.
And after the 3 lunches, it wasn't great, but I can see the difference in myself. Instead of just giving one word reply, I start to talk a little bit more and a little bit more comfortable. That's why I start to have, you know, the 4th, the 5th, the, you know, keep going with the lunches. I don't remember at which point. I don't think there's a magic moment when things change.
No, just a gradual.
Yeah. But slowly, you know, it from absolutely terrifying to uncomfortable but manageable, to getting comfortable, and now I absolutely love it. Like, that's my favorite time of the day. That's looking forward to who you're going to have lunch with and what's going to be, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, that's just awesome.
And I'm curious to ask, how did your lunch guests, especially those early lunch guests, how did they find the experience? Did they give you any feedback about, you know, that was great, or, you know, that was, you know, an interesting concept, you know, interesting in inverted commas. Yeah. Was there any feedback of that nature? What sort of feedback did you get?
Yeah. For example, one of my lunch, his name is Tansel. He was one of my earlier lunch guests, and he came to my book launch and I invited him to speak on the stage. And he mentioned that it's just a very rewarding, I don't know what word he used, but it was a very positive experience seeing me grow and change and evolve as a person. Because when we had our first lunch, I wasn't that talkative. He was like lunch 20 something or something like that. And then he saw me again and again. We had maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 lunches after. And yeah, according to him, I keep talking more and become a more confident person every time he sees me. So that's very, I don't know, nice comments from him.
Okay. So with all these lunches, Kaylee, I'm always trying to figure out what people learn, what they develop, how they grow. What do you think you learned about yourself in this process? Were there any great insights, or were there any particular lessons that came out of that for you in your own experience?
So much. So many. Like, really, that's a lot of self-awareness and self-realization. The number one most important than all is that I think I have underestimated my potential in my entire life.
Wow.
I thought, in particular, as an immigrant, as English not my first language, as a, you know, a young Asian girl in Australia, I thought there's so many limits. I can't do this. I can't do that. And now I realize that, you know, why? I can do anything I want. Why limit myself? And yeah, I don't know. I think the most biggest difference in for me is that really the confidence level.
Okay.
It just feels good to know that, I don't know how to describe that. It's almost like I know there's going to be challenges coming, in particular what I'm doing. I'm having a startup, running a business. There's going to be lots of challenges coming. But how I feel at the moment is that it doesn't matter what happens, we can overcome those challenges. And that feeling is just it's just very good. I don't know how to describe that. Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, that's great feeling. That's all.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And obviously you learned that about yourself. I'm also keen to ask, what did you learn about other people?
That's a very good question I don't get asked very often. To be honest, when I first started the journey, I thought people are very different, in particular those typically classified as very successful people. They're very, very different. They, you know, they talk different. They drive a different car, and they were different in a lot of things. And then as I slowly get to know them a little bit better, we connect more and I meet a lot more of successful people. Then I thought, yeah, actually we're all the same. We all have struggle. We all have a life. We all have a family, people that we love, and very, very similar. And, but then when I keep going and have more lunches and meet more people and get to know them more in a deeper level, then I realize that we're actually different again.
Okay.
In, but mainly in the mindset is the biggest difference in people.
Tell me a bit more about that.
I didn't expect this is how we go from the podcast. I haven't prepared a lot, but, I think the main difference in mindsets in terms of people who achieve a lot is their resilience or how they face challenges, whether or not they give up when they see a problem or they just keep going and see that it's an inconvenience, and how they view the world, and I don't know, just a difference in mindset. Like, for example, me 2 years ago, I have so many limiting mindsets that I thought I couldn't do this, couldn't do that. Yeah, that's the main difference.
I really love that, because I think it's a transform. The reason I ask that question is I believe it's a transformative process, obviously for you, but equally for the people who you're interacting with. And I'm curious to understand what that learning is in both directions for you about yourself and for you about them, and equally for them about themselves. Kaylee, I'm sure, you know, you've got a family, husband, and a couple of kids. Have they noticed any changes in you?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Do you think it's made you easier to live with, harder to live with? Presumably easier, I imagine, or maybe just different, or maybe no difference at all. But what's been the impact in your family life?
So much. For example, I think I've become more interesting. I like to think that I've become more interesting. For example, before I started this journey, I used to live in like an autopilot mode.
Yeah.
I come to work and then I finish work, go home, you know, doing not much social media and really not much, and then restart the day again and again. There's no purpose in life. There's nothing very interesting to share. And that's probably one of the reasons why the early lunches weren't that interesting. But then I start to do more interesting things. I push myself to do more fun things so that I've got more interesting stories to share, and that inspire my husband to do the same. Like we went, you know, to do crazy fun muddy running or we jump out of a plane, like do skydiving. We even did a stand-up comedy course together, for example. We're just actively trying to make our life more interesting, and that's really enhanced the bonding between me and my husband or the whole family. And yeah, just great. And then also I realized that after so many lunches, it's the most important thing in life, more than anything really, is the core, like the love, the people around you that's meaningful, like your husband, I mean, my husband, my kids, my family. They're the most important people in the world, and that just makes me treasure them and value them more.
I really like that. I'm also thinking that what a wonderful example that you're setting for your children as well, and I really mean that. I think showing your kids that you can overcome a shyness or overcome a barrier and find a way to do that, to find joy, to find connection, to find purpose, meaning, all those things, right? And I think that's a really great example for your kids. And I'm really sure that your kids will come back in 20 years' time and say, hey, Mum, do you remember when you're doing, you know, maybe you're up to 3,000 lunches by that stage, who knows, right? But, you know, do you remember da-da-da-da-da, or you had a lunch with so-and-so? And I really think it's going to be part of their life story as well, and I think that's going to be really enjoyable for them to reflect on.
I hope so too. They're still young. They're 4 and 6 at the moment, so I'm waiting for that day to happen.
Enjoy that time. It's a nice time. It's a lovely age. All ages are good, but that's a particularly nice age. I wanted to, when it came to the logistics of asking people out to lunch, given that you were shy, given the reluctance to speak to people, how nervous were you doing that?
Very, very nervous.
Yeah.
I was very self-conscious about everything, my English, my me as a person, like, am I a weird person? In particular, I met my husband when I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even date anyone beforehand. So that's like complete weird, bizarre, crazy, out of my comfort zone experience for me.
Fair enough. And I'm curious to ask, when you set up those first three lunches, how many people did you need to ask to get three lunches?
30-something invitations. So roughly about 10% people say yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Again, I'm curious to ask because I know that if you are shy and, you know, if the barrier to getting it done is overcoming that shyness, and then if you got one or two knockbacks, I wondered, would that have impacted your confidence to step forward again, and what made you keep stepping forward?
Progress. So when I sent those invitations, I was so determined because that's the day, you know, I've decided to do something. So I keep sending all the invitations out.
Yeah.
But after that, I really see progress. Yeah. You know, I can see myself getting more comfortable with people, getting more confident. I really enjoy the conversation, making new connections and understand the world a little bit more because I purposely look for people that are different to me in terms of like cultural background or age group or industry work or anything just different to me, or they achieve something interesting so that I'm always learning and people give me new perspectives in life and just fascinating. There's no reason to stop, really.
I actually think, wouldn't it be nice? Actually, this was not what I'd planned to talk about, but wouldn't it be nice if we could get world leaders to do 100 lunches?
That would be fantastic, I reckon, so that they can understand people more, not just people around them, because people around them probably very similar to them,
yeah,
like successful, rich, and influential. Have lunch with those people that's not that level.
Yep.
So hear them what's interesting in their life, what they're focusing in, what they're thinking and what's worrying them, what's keeping them awake at night, so that you can be a person who can think in a more, you know, all-rounded, you know, from a different perspective.
And what do you think the outcome would be? What do you think if you had a group of, you know, political leaders doing that, what do you think the outcome would be?
I think that's definitely would be a good thing. They would be more understanding about how people think, and absolutely, yes.
So Scott Morrison, if you're listening, it's time. it's time to get the diary out, Scott Morrison, and start scheduling lunches. Have you had lunch with any of the politicians?
No, they are on my list. I definitely want to invite them, but no, not yet. I've had lunch with people with very strong political views. They're trying to tell me who's good, who's bad, but no one who's actively up there in politics.
Do you know who I think would be a fun guest? Have you come across Annabelle Crabb, the journalist? And she does a show where she invites politicians around for a meal and they cook together and then they eat together.
Oh.
And it's a really fascinating program. It's really great. And, of course, the politicians, when they're in their kitchen, the guard comes down and you see a bit more of the person behind the politician. And I reckon she'd be a fascinating guest for you. But anyway,
I will invite her. That sounds very interesting.
I think you would like her. I think you'd get on like a house on fire. I wanted to ask you again, so this feels like I'm playing 20 questions, but I've got literally, if this was 20 questions, I've got about 300 questions that I'd really like to ask. So I'm just trying to narrow it down. I wanted to ask you, you said to me at the beginning of the show that, you know, when you're in Hong Kong, you're less shy, but when you came to Australia and particularly outside of your network of Hong Kong friends and family, you were a bit more shy interacting with non-Asians.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious to ask, do you think you're still shy, in inverted commas, or do you think you've changed? So what I'm trying to differentiate is, do you think you're shy and found a way to overcome things in certain situations, or do you think there's been some physiological change within you?
That's a very good question. To be honest, I think I'm always an extrovert. So I don't know if you know the definition of extrovert and introvert. Extrovert is like you get energy from people,
mm-hmm,
and introvert is like you lose energy when you're around with people. And I think I'm always an extrovert. I always like to spend time with people and hang out with people, talk to people. And that's why I was frustrated. Like, yeah, I was the one that's sitting in the corner having a drink by myself in a party, but I want to be in the group,
yeah,
talking to people and dancing with people, but I didn't have the confidence burdens to do that. Mm. And that one is so frustrating for me. While I know there are other people out there who's just happily reading a book by themselves, but I'm not like them.
Yeah.
So the whole 100 lunges journey is not changing me. I don't think so. I think it's more about me ticking off the mask and finally have the confidence just to be myself again, just to talk to people and tell people what I really think, how I really feel, and just be myself instead of worrying about whether or not people are going to judge me. Just like today, like that half an hour conversation, I made plenty of grammatical mistakes. I couldn't even express myself sometimes because I struggle with words. But that doesn't matter because I realized that people's want to understand me. Sometimes they ask me questions because I make mistakes, but that's okay because they want to know what I'm talking about instead of judging me.
Mm.
That's what I learned. Yeah. So I don't think I change as a person in general, but more like ticking off the mask and be who I really always am, if that makes sense.
I really like that. I think that's...
And when you talk about confidence, I think confidence is actually a state. Like, you can be confident sometimes, but now I like to consider myself as a confident person.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I'm confident 100% of the time. For example, I went to a conference earlier this year in March, a PSA conference, which mm-hmm. is a Professional Speaker Australia conference. They've got a party with more than 100 people, and they're all super successful people, like, you know, they're all professional speakers, influential, mm-hmm. great talker, talk on the stage. And I remember that day I was still a little bit like intimidated, and that first night I didn't want to talk to people. I felt like it was back to 2 years ago that I was lack of confidence. And then I went back to my room and I took a break and I went back in because I really want to connect with them and I want to talk to them. Mm. But, you know, I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm still not 100% confidence 100% of the time.
I don't think anyone is though, Kaylee. That's the thing. I don't think anyone is.
Yeah, so, but then I do feel like I'm more confident most of the time compared to where I was before.
Yeah, and on your topic of masks, I think this is just an opinion, but I do think a lot of us wear masks a lot of the time and we don't reveal ourselves. And it sounds to me like you said that this process has just been, as you say, taking off the mask and being stepping forward into the light a bit more from where you were before, rather than, as you say, changing, which is really fantastic and fabulous. I really do want to ask you, though, as we wrap up, I'm very conscious of your time. What wisdom do you think you've acquired in this process? I know we spoke about what you've learned, and I just want to slightly differentiate that from wisdom, because I think wisdom is a little deeper and a little more profound.
What wisdom? I think just keep learning. I have never stopped learning from people, even after 250 lunches. I feel like every lunch I still get inspired in some way, or because everyone knows something that I didn't know. And it's my job there to find out what is that and learn from them. And like I always say to people, one connection can change your life. And I have plenty of those examples that I can share with you, mm-hmm. how one connection changed my life and took my life to the next level again and again and again and again. Yeah, just keep have an open mind and meet more people, because you never know which one of them would be your life-changing connection. That's why I said 100 lunches to change your life, not one lunch or not, you know. Yeah.
Okay. So I have to, sorry, I know I was going to wrap up, but I do have, now I've got a couple.
Keep going. Yes.
I've got a couple of questions. So on that note, and I know probably this is probably not a very polite question to ask, but I'm just going to ask the question anyway.
It's okay.
Are there any lunches that you remember more than others? Were there any lunches where you went, wow, that was just amazing? Or was there any one person who had a really profound impact on you?
So many of them. So many of them blew my mind, and I thought it would go one way, but turns out to be completely different.
Yeah.
And then there are so many lunches that I thought, okay, he's nice. It was a nice lunch. Didn't expect anything. And then came back 12 months later, turned out become my business partner, or we did something really, really cool. Like a few months down the track, it happens many, many times. Yes.
And my second follow-up question was when you went to the lunches, this is, I guess, probably a logistics or a tactical question, did you go there just to chat, or did you go there with a series of things that you wanted to learn from them? What I'm trying to ask is, did you prepare for that, or did you just kind of go in and just say, I'm going to have a chat about whatever comes up?
The only agenda I have for lunches is that thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
No agenda. And then whatever flows from there will come. And I think that's the best way to have lunch because otherwise it will be the same lunch again and again. And that's pretty boring. It's much better to just listen to what's fascinating them and what they're interested into and what they love and just listen to them and have them direct the conversation. That's much better.
And what fascinates you, Kaylee?
So many things. I feel like the more I know, the more I realize the more that I don't know, if that makes sense. Like there's so many things I want to learn and try and experience.
Okay. Well, ladies and gents, we've been talking to Kaylee Chu, who is the founder of Hearted Lunches. And I just want to say on a personal note, I think it's a fantastic project. I'm a big believer in connection. I believe that we're all on this little rock together, and the rock that we call Earth. And I think that, you know, as you said, connection, you know, one connection can change your life. And I remember Brené Brown saying that connection is what gives meaning and purpose to our life. And I've always tried to embrace that too. So I think the work that you're doing is really profound. And, you know, I think the idea of people coming together to share lunch, to break bread, to eat together is a very human experience. And I really like that. And ladies and gents, if you want to hear more about Kaylee or find out what she does, head across to her website, kayleechu.com. We'll put that in the show notes, of course. But I'd also really encourage you to go and watch her TED Talk. Check out the video on the ABC website with Shane Jacobson. Check out the duct tape car. Hopefully the car made it all right, Kaylee.
Yes, it worked perfectly.
Well, he is Kenny, isn't he? After all, he knows how to fix a toilet, so hopefully he'll be all right with that. So, look, again, I really just want to say thank you so much for your time today. You've been really wonderful, and I'm really pleased to have had the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you so much. And the purpose now, what I'm trying to do is really help other people to experience similar to what I experienced before, because I've had other people doing very similar things, which is having lunch with strangers, and they've got very similar outcome as well. So I know this is working and this will work with people. And in order to help them, I've got in my website, I've got a startup pack with templates on how you invite people out for lunch, tips on how you can do that more efficiently, and step-by-step guide how to do it from start to finish. How do you prepare during and after the lunches? I think that's going to be really helpful for people. It's all free of charge. You can download that from my website. And also we're trying to build a platform to help people connect with each other in a much more efficient way. So if anyone's got any ideas that can help me to make my life purpose more, you know,
so if people do have do have ideas for you or things that they'd like to see built into the platform, should they email them to you, Kaylee?
Sure, reach me anywhere, email, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, anywhere you prefer, I'm there.
So ladies and gents, I'm going to really encourage you to head across to Kaylee's site. And if you're interested in the lunch idea, I think it's a fantastic idea. Download the resources, grab all that gear. And if there's things you think that might be helpful to Kaylee, reach out to her, let her know, because I think this mission that she's on is a really worthwhile mission, and I think we'd all love to support you in that, Kaylee, so that'd be awesome.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.